Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right. Welcome back, family. You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, and this is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition. And in our mid-morning chat today, you know what it is, what I know for sure. That's what we're talking about once again in this segment. And, you know, I really enjoy this segment. And here we're talking about lessons that we've learned along the journey of life and of faith, things we thought we knew, but really had a limited understanding of. So now, having gone through some things, having experienced some things, and experiences offered us a more evolved and more wholesome and evolved understanding of certain aspects of life. My brother Nda Nxumalo joining us on the line to help us, to share with us rather his own journey and share what he knows for sure. Nda, good morning and thank you so much for joining us once again on the show.
Hey, good morning to you too, my sister and listeners. And everybody else who is tuned into AWR.
Amen. Amen. So you're talking to us today about what you now know for sure, something, a lesson that you've learned along your faith journey. What is that all about?
Would sum up what I've learned on life's journey by referring to those who are familiar with their Bibles to the story of the rich young ruler. Okay, so here's somebody rich, mm-hmm. somebody maybe living in Sandton, or somebody living, if it's KZN, Mhlanga Ridge, if it's down, you know, those posh areas.
Yeah, yeah.
But this person is not just rich, but also young.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Mm.
That's that response that he got from Christ, which was basically twofold, is what I've actually learned. So I'll sum it up in this way, that the Lord Jesus Christ responded to him, beginning at the level of his misunderstanding. So he began at his level that the Bible even says the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and he loved him. He thought, wow, this is a fresh young chap. I'm loving him.
Yeah.
Then he gave him a response that was befitting his level of misunderstanding. He says, no, you know how the commandments go. You should do this, you should do that. The guy says, I'm an Adventist. I've done that all my life.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I'm missing?
Right.
Yes. Then Jesus gave him his response. He says, now, go sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And we know how the story turned out. The story says, turned around and he left downhearted because he had great possessions. Okay. He had great possessions. So let me then apply this to myself.
Okay.
Number one, I was once young. I'm now not so young as such. But I've never been rich.
Okay.
Yet I can identify with this young man from one perspective. I come from a family that was serving at Solusi Mission. I was actually born right inside Solusi Mission, which is a place, you know, that is well renowned for powerful religious experiences. Mm. The Lord opened doors for Solusi to be open. And I was born right in the middle of that creamery. Mm. Of Christian experience.
Mm.
Yes. I was right in the thick of the cream. And I thought I had it, figured it out.
Mm.
Yeah, until I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And then life turned out differently.
Mm.
Maybe let me take a pause there. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Interesting. I like how you've looked at it. You've twisted the aspect in terms of the wealth of the rich young ruler and the wealth that you're talking about, the wealth that you've experienced, which was, where God planted you and where you were born and what you were surrounded by and the privilege that came with that. And that's an interesting interesting dichotomy.
And so now to start making a switch to dwell more on what I've learned rather than to dwell more on what I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to, first of all, take a lot of ammunition from the experience of the rich young ruler, because Jesus' response to say to him, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Jesus was actually trying to say to the young man, you have been paying lip service to my commandments. If you really were keeping my commandments, you would have not made it a point that this wealth that you have is benefiting only you, because my commandments ought to have taught you that you should be perturbed, you should be disturbed when your neighbor is going home to bed hungry. You should be disturbed when your neighbor is sleeping under a bridge, and yet you've got the resources to solve that problem.
Sure.
Okay. That's the lesson that I picked up, that, oh, the keeping of the commandments isn't so much making sure that I don't have any other God before me, making sure that I don't use God's name in vain, being faithful in keeping the Sabbath, making sure I obey my parents, making sure I don't murder anyone. I think you follow where I'm going.
Yes.
But now, the entirety of that experience, while it does not remove that responsibility, it must be shown in having an attitude of love towards my fellow man.
Yes.
In the same fashion in which God has loved me and I've responded to him in love. That love, I must now pass it on to my fellow brethren and sisters.
Powerful. Which is how Christ summed up the law in the first place, love.
And that's where we get some of our texts. The first one is Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. In other words, the reason why we've got those first four commandments is because the prohibitions and the encouragement in the one is saying, if you love God, you will not have other gods before him.
Right.
If you love God, you are not going to worship idols.
Right.
If you love God, you would respect his name. If I think you follow where I'm going.
Yes.
And lastly, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Okay. If I love my neighbor, I'm going to honor my parents because they are my first neighbors. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to murder my neighbor all the way up to the 10th. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to covet anything that belongs to my neighbor. The basic of the entirety of the Ten Commandments is love.
Yeah.
For God, love for my fellow man. I lived quite a large portion of my Christian experience without actually understanding that.
Interesting. Very interesting. And so when you now compare that with the experience of the rich young ruler, how did you then apply that knowledge in your own life?
Okay. Now, this is how it impacted me in my own life. I must first admit that I think I didn't have the privilege of applying this to my own life, but the Lord took me through experiences where I eventually learned what I now know.
In fact, before you get there, sorry to interrupt you there, before you get to that, how did you discover, considering that you grew up in this environment where you would expect that that should be second nature, right? You're surrounded by the word of God every other day is camp meeting. So at what point did you recognize in yourself that you have actually not adopted that love that is described in the Bible for God and for your neighbor? When did you realize that I'm actually not living this thing the way it's supposed to be?
All right. I had just turned 21 that particular year, having been baptized at the year when I turned 16. And I happened to be taking a class at Solusi. Interestingly, I did my tertiary studies at Solusi. Born and bred at Solusi, I did my tertiary. In that particular class, the class was entitled Christ in Music and Art.
Okay.
Yeah, so the class content had to do with how artists, especially in the Western world, have depicted the life of Christ using art and others using music.
Okay.
Art as in paintings and drawings and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Culture, things like that. Yeah. Now, I'm a musician and I'm an artist by nature.
Mm-hmm.
I was born into a musical family. My dad also draws. So that class hit me hard because for the first time in my life, I realized that I'm a sinner sitting in a college class. And when we went through the crucifixion, I broke. I just broke down.
Mm.
Yeah. Especially when we're doing it from the art perspective.
Sure.
That's the first time that God reached into my heart and told me, you've been sitting here thinking you know it all, but you have not met me yet.
Mm.
Hello.
Mm.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah.
Mm.
Ever since I turned 21, my life has been on a spiral of trying to survive because the devil has been trying to suffocate me left, right, and center.
Sure.
Even right now, as I'm speaking to you, that's the experience. But the joy of the Lord is my strength, I must confess.
Sure.
That's what.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. And so, after coming into that knowledge, how then did it now impact you? You were saying before I interrupted you earlier.
Now, the manner in which it impacted me.
Yeah.
Now that I was cognizant of the fact that Christ actually died for me. He died for me, you know. That realization now began to apply to me like retrospectively. And I'm thinking, wow, how I wish I'd always known this. Because then I wouldn't have made that decision then, but obviously too late to regret what was past. So now, in moving forward, I had quite a number of experiences where, and I don't think I have the time to actually outline them, but eventually they drove me into a program where I began to read my Bible for myself. I wouldn't read the Bible because I was preparing for the Sabbath school lesson on Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying. I began to read it for my sake.
Right.
And yeah, and then the Lord started speaking now through his word. Like, I'll give you a few texts here. I remember when I first got to Genesis 15 verse 6, where the Lord gives Abraham a promise for the second time. He says, go look up at the stars. And he says to this man who was just him and his wife,
mm-hmm.
you see the number of stars, I'm going to make the generations coming out of you to be as numbered is the number of stars. And he couldn't count the stars. He says, no,
yeah.
You're going to have numberless generations.
Mm.
And the record states that Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Mm.
It's a very short text. When you read the Bible for the first time, you just read it in passing because you're looking for the story,
yeah,
the drama. But then I later discovered, having read through those texts, that I'd missed the drama, that there it was. All that Abraham had to believe in order to get righteousness was, you know, was to believe the Lord's promise. That's all he had to do. He did not have to keep the commandment. He had to believe.
Mm.
And the righteousness was credited to him. Remember, it was credited because Christ was still going to come and pay the debt later on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's such a beautiful lesson.
There was a credit entry, and then when Christ came, he debited the account and the account balance. That's why Abraham is a father of faith who's going to make it to heaven because of Christ.
Mm, mm. Wow,
yeah.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. I really love that lesson. And you're right. We usually just skim past that verse, talking about how it was credited to him as righteousness, simply for believing, not for anything else. But the danger sometimes is that some people will get stuck on that. As much as there's the danger of skipping past it, some will get stuck on that and then think that, so I have no responsibility then for me to claim any of God's promises. I have no responsibility except to believe. Or is that the case? Is there not an expectation, for example, love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord your God with all your heart? Are those not expectations of us as we believe?
I would respond to your question in this way.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has no expectation of us in that regard because by our nature, we've already failed to meet the requirements of the law.
Yeah.
which is why we need the credit from Christ.
Okay.
So the expectation now lies on Christ. But now, as soon as I accept Christ as my personal Savior, I now have this sense of joy that Christ is not just my Savior, but He is also my Lord. That's why we call Him Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Lord element is the element that you are speaking to. That now that I've already failed to meet the requirements of the law, Christ meets the requirements of the law for me because I believed in Him. But like you rightly say, the story doesn't end there, because the process that unfolds after that is like what I'd call an outgrowth from that experience of meeting Christ. As soon as I've met Christ now, as I walk with Him, Christ then starts building within me a character that will be patterned in such a way that I start loving the Lord and I start loving my neighbor because Christ is putting that love within me.
Yeah.
If you notice, I can't generate the love myself.
Right.
Exactly.
Still
need to.
And so, see, I've got more questions now, but considering that I cannot generate that love myself, I cannot live a righteous life on my own, Christ has done it for me, and so He does it in me, right? So with that in mind then, does that mean that it should be easy because it's not me? On my own, I've tried, I failed, I can't do it on my own, it's too hard. When I then accept Christ and when He's living in me, does that mean since He's the one doing it, now it's easy because I love Him? And if it's hard, that means maybe my love is not quite, it's not at the correct settings. Exactly, how are we supposed to feel about the effort of living a Christ-like life? Is it supposed to be hard? Is it supposed to be easy?
Yeah. You know what I discovered? I discovered, based on this understanding that we have, when I try now on a daily basis to then live out that experience, it's going to be hard because I'm the one who's trying.
Right.
That's the last lesson that I learned. The last lesson that I learned was, I must not even try because by trying, I've already failed. So what I must do is to report to Christ on a daily basis, which is what the Bible calls dying daily. In other words, one of the most difficult things to do is to commit suicide, to die daily, voluntarily telling Christ, you know what, I'm a failure at this thing, and because I'm a failure, I'm not even going to try. Please come in this morning and do it for me. Okay. Human pride refuses to acknowledge that I've actually failed as far as this is concerned. So, as long as human pride is still alive, it's the hardest thing on earth to do. But the sooner I learn that I need to lay my pride low into the dust and kill it on a day-to-day basis and possibly on a moment-to-moment basis every day. Then when Christ comes in, it is mincemeat for Christ. He does it easily, provided He is doing it in somebody who is dead to self. So the answer is actually both, depending on how a person actually decides to, you know, there are some of us who are a little bit more stubborn than others. I think I was one of the most stubborn ones. I'm a perfectionist by nature. Mm-hmm. It took a while for me to actually admit, you know what, I can't actually do this.
Yeah.
And then I find Christ is sitting there tapping His, you know, something, He's waiting for me.
Are you done?
He's thinking, I told you from the start. Yeah, I are you done? that's my response to your question. That's what the Bible taught me.
Just wrapping up our conversation now, someone listening to this who maybe is new in the faith, or maybe not even new in the faith, someone is thinking, I need a practical advice. When we're talking about dying to self, what does that practically and literally mean? How do I die every day? What does that mean when I surrender my will to Christ? In a practical sense, what does that look like? Because I'm tired of trying and failing.
Absolutely. Practically, it entails three very precise activities. And those activities will always ensure that one is dead daily. Okay. The first of those is I have to make sure that I reserve time to read and study my Bible daily.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Yes. Then number two, to pray daily. And again, I have to set aside time. It should be as disciplined as making sure I've got time to, mm-hmm. to exercise. Yeah. Then number three, I then ask after whatever prayer session I've had for the Lord to give me the grace to actually live what I've learned for that session or for the day, and then have that as a cumulative experience from day to day.
Right.
So, as you would know, for someone who has never had an exercise program, if I don't actually have the discipline to make time to go for exercise, I'll never get started.
Mm.
This is even more serious than starting an exercise program.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love that you didn't start off, and I think that's probably what a lot of us do. You didn't start off with a list of what not to do, things to stop doing. You need to quit doing this, but rather the things that you need to incorporate into your life. And interestingly enough, already that feels easier. That makes the journey seem lighter than this, the uphill struggle of saying, okay, I've been doing ABC all my life. Now I'm going to stop. From today onwards, I will never have another cigarette again. Or from today onwards, I will never, you know, whatever it is that's got someone trapped. But when we're looking at it from the aspect of, okay, without changing anything else in my life, I think I can incorporate, I can spend some time reading, I can pray, and I can, you know, ask for grace to live according to what I've just learned for today. And then tomorrow, do it again without actively trying to stop the bad behaviors, more of just introducing more of the good behaviors until the bad has no room in my life.
Absolutely. In fact, by virtue of the fact that this kind of activity is the admission of the Lordship of Christ into my life, it is responsibility to kill off the bad habits. My responsibility is to kill self and submit to Christ. That's just the everyday. That's basically what I do.
Mm.
And when I find I'm faced with a temptation, my silent prayer should be, Lord, you know what I'm spontaneously going to do. I'm now submitting my will to you. Please take over. Basically, the role of someone who calls themselves a Christian is to kill self and admit for duty. Christ, I've come for duty. What's your duty? I've come here to die.
Mm.
Please, I'm dying. You come and live. That's how it works. I cannot stop taking another cigarette. I cannot stop stealing mommy's cakes if you're a little person. Even if I'm a big person, I cannot stop stealing my boss's funds or whatever the case may be. Christ's responsibility is to do the killing off of the activities of sin. My responsibility is to die daily.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. That is very interesting. Very interesting. I've definitely been blessed by that. And I do hope that the listeners have been blessed as well. Brother Nda Nxumalo, thank you so much for coming through and sharing your experience, your lessons from your journey in faith. And I hope that God continues to bless you as you continue to serve him. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And blessings to you and to your listeners as well.
Amen.
Thanks as well.
Amen. What a beautiful lesson, right? It's more about introducing and acknowledging the Lordship of Christ more than it is about trying to get rid of those bad habits yourself. And that is a very important lesson to learn. Interestingly enough, like I know I said that a lot of times this is for those who are new in the faith and all of this, but this is actually very applicable to even those who've been in the faith all our lives, and we thought we had it all figured out and we thought we knew. And how many of us have gotten so frustrated because specifically because we've known, quote unquote, we've known God all our lives, but why are we still struggling with this sin and that sin? Why can't I quit doing this? Why can't I quit doing that? Because you're focusing on the wrong thing. You should be focusing on Jesus, not on the thing that you're trying to break free from, right? And these very simple steps that Brother Nda has just given to us should be able to help you, will be able to help you to get to a position where you are turning your eyes upon Jesus and looking full in his wonderful face, so that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So I hope that you'll be blessed, and I hope that as you move forward in your faith walk, that you'll implement these and see what God does in your life. This has been a challenge for me personally, so I'm very grateful for that conversation. +27734703520 if you have a comment, a question, anything that you'd like to share with us. And if you'd like to also come through and share what you now know for sure after a little bit of time spent on this earth, what lessons have you learned in your faith walk?
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.